Iran nears Oman deal to reshape Strait of Hormuz shipping security. Iran has struck a preliminary geographic agreement with Oman on a shipping corridor through the Strait of Hormuz, offering the first concrete pathway to restoring flow through a choke point that carries roughly one-fifth of the world's oil and liquefied natural gas. But Tehran's own spokesman has already signaled the deal may not deliver what energy markets need. The announcement, reported by Iran's official IRNA news agency on August 5, 2026, carries specific weight and specific limits. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Esmail Baki confirmed that the geographical coordinates of the route had been agreed with Oman, describing the arrangement as being in its final stages. Deputy Foreign Minister Kazem Gharibabadi added a detail that institutional investors should underline. The new corridor would be temporary, with a window of 2 to 4 months. No further operational details were disclosed. The U.S. and Oman offered no public confirmation. Global benchmark Brent crude moved on the news, falling 0.3% to $79.24 per barrel in morning Asian trade on August 5, 2026, as traders priced in a partial resolution scenario. The muted decline, rather than a sharp sell-off, reflects the market's justified skepticism. Baki stated explicitly that a deal with Oman would not guarantee safe navigation, citing the ongoing U.S. naval blockade of Iranian ports as the underlying threat to security. His framing was pointed. The factors making the Strait of Hormuz insecure still exist on the part of the United States, particularly the naval blockade and other aggressive and threatening actions against Iran and its interests. One former U.S. diplomat, cited in BBC video commentary accompanying the report, described the proposed arrangement bluntly: "Everyone hates it except Iran." That framing captures the fundamental asymmetry of the negotiation and explains why institutional capital should treat any price rally on this headline as a trading opportunity rather than a regime shift. The broader context matters. The U.S. and Israel launched strikes on Iran on February 28, 2026, triggering Iran's closure of the strait and a cascade of consequences that have restructured global energy logistics. Iran's then supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, was killed in that initial attack and has been succeeded by his son Mejtaba Khamenei, who was wounded in the same strikes and has not appeared publicly since. Iran's President Massoud Pezeshkian acknowledged on August 6 that communication with the new supreme leader was difficult at the moment, a statement that carries significant weight for anyone modeling Iran's decision-making coherence on any deal. The fee dispute reveals who controls the leverage. The most consequential detail in the IRNA readout is not the corridor itself, but the toll structure Tehran is demanding. Iran is seeking fees of between 5% and 7% of the value of each cargo transiting the strait, according to a senior Iranian official cited by Reuters. Oman, playing the role of pragmatic mediator, is discussing fees closer to 3%. Washington's position is zero fees. Run the math. Global oil demand runs at roughly 103 million barrels per day as of mid-2026. The strait handles approximately 20% of that flow, or around 20 million barrels per day, plus LNG volumes. At $79.24 per barrel and a 5% toll on oil cargoes alone, the daily fee revenue Iran is targeting would run into the hundreds of millions of dollars annually. The precise figure depends on cargo valuation methodology and volumes actually transiting, and full terms have not been disclosed. But the order of magnitude explains why Washington's position is structural, not tactical. Accepting a fee mechanism would institutionalize Iranian sovereignty over a global commons, setting a precedent that no U.S. administration could absorb politically. The proposed deal would also hand Tehran control over vessels entering the Gulf through the strait, according to Reuters reporting cited by the BBC. That is not a transit fee. That is a checkpoint. The distinction matters enormously for shipping insurers, tanker operators, and the sovereign wealth funds that hold stakes in both. The June MOU collapse is the baseline for probability assessment investors who anchored probability of reopening to the June 2026 Memorandum of Understanding between the U.S. and Iran should now apply a heavy discount. That agreement, signed to halt fighting, reopen the strait, and reach a war-ending deal within 60 days, collapsed within days of signing. Tit-for-tat attacks resumed almost immediately. The MOU's failure is not ancient history. It is the most recent data point on the durability of any Iran-U.S. arrangement. On August 4, 2026, U.S. President Donald Trump stated that Iran would be hit very hard if the strait did not open very soon. Senior U.S. officials said simultaneously that talks had progressed to allow shipments to potentially resume within days. Iran's response was to route negotiations through Oman, while publicly stating it was not negotiating with the U.S. and had no plans to do so. That dual-track posture, denying direct engagement while using a third party to advance terms, is a negotiating structure that produces delay, not resolution. The Houthi blockade of Saudi Arabia's Red Sea ports, imposed on July 20, 2026, adds a second choke point to the disruption map. Two simultaneous maritime blockades affecting Gulf and Red Sea traffic represent a compounding logistics shock with no historical precedent in the post-1980 oil market era. Air India's route cuts signal second-order damage to aviation, and trade the Hormuz disruptions reach extends beyond tanker markets. Air India, now reporting a record annual loss of nearly $2.3 billion and operating 198 aircraft across roughly 5,000 weekly flights, has cut nearly a third of its international operations. The airline cited disrupted international routes due to the Iran war as a contributing factor, alongside aircraft delivery delays and rising costs. Tata Group Chairman N. Chandrasekaran has warned that a turnaround could take up to a decade. Air India's record loss of nearly $2.3 billion and the cut of nearly one-third of its international routes illustrates that the Hormuz crisis is repricing assets across the aviation, logistics, and trade finance sectors, not just energy. New CEO Tuul Gebremariam, formerly of Ethiopian Airlines, inherits this environment. He grew Ethiopian Airlines' fleet nearly threefold and built it into Africa's most profitable carrier. Whether that operational track record translates to an airline navigating war-distorted route economics is a separate question. For private equity investors holding aviation or airport assets with Gulf exposure, the Air India data point is a real-time stress test, not a one-off. Energy volatility has repriced risk across multiple asset classes. Brent crude at $79.24 as of August 5 reflects a market that has absorbed months of severe strait disruption without a price spike into the $100 plus range. That compression, relative to the severity of the disruption, reflects several offsetting factors: demand moderation, inventory drawdowns, and alternative routing. What the price does not reflect is resolution. A genuine, durable reopening of the strait would reprice LNG shipping contracts, tanker day rates, refinery crack spreads, and energy equity valuations simultaneously. The 2 to 4 month temporary window proposed by Deputy Foreign Minister Gharib Abadi is not a resolution scenario. It is a pressure valve. Any private equity fund manager with long positions in LNG infrastructure, floating storage, or alternative routing assets should model the temporary window as the base case, not a precursor to normalization. Caption: key figures from the Hormuz Corridor announcement and selected second-order impacts, August 2026. Investment positioning: follow the money through Oman. Oman's role is the alpha signal in this story. Muscat has positioned itself as the indispensable mediator between Washington and Tehran, and the geographic coordination with Iran on corridor coordinates is a direct extension of Oman's decades-long quiet diplomacy. For institutional capital, Oman's infrastructure assets, port capacity, and LNG terminal stakes carry a geopolitical premium that has likely not been fully priced into Gulf sovereign debt or regional infrastructure funds. If the corridor opens, even temporarily, the first beneficiaries are tanker operators with vessels already positioned in the Gulf, LNG spot market participants holding supply that has been stranded, and refiners in Asia who have been paying alternative route premiums. The losers in a reopening scenario are investors long on alternative routing infrastructure, namely the Cape of Good Hope tanker route and expanded Red Sea bypass logistics. The fee dispute also creates a derivatives market implication. If a 3-5% cargo toll becomes the settled mechanism, even temporarily, that cost passes through to end buyers and compresses refinery margins. Fuel hedging books for airlines, shipping companies, and power utilities will need to be recalibrated against a toll-inclusive landed cost of crude, not a straight-free benchmark. The Plaquemium view the market is treating the Oman Corridor announcement as a binary. Either it works or it doesn't. That is the wrong frame. The correct analytical lens is optionality duration. Iran has structured this as a 2-4 month corridor, not a peace settlement. Tehran has explicitly reserved the right to close it again by conditioning safe passage on the lifting of U.S. naval blockades, a condition Washington has no political incentive to meet. The corridor, if it opens, functions as a pressure release mechanism that reduces the probability of immediate U.S. military escalation without resolving the underlying sovereignty dispute over the strait. For institutional capital, this creates a specific window. Energy infrastructure assets with short-duration exposure benefit from a temporary reopening. Long-duration bets on normalized Hormuz transit are not supported by the deal structure disclosed. The second-order insight is leadership uncertainty in Tehran. President Pezeshkian's public statement that communication with Supreme Leader Mujtaba Khamenei is difficult at the moment is not a minor diplomatic footnote. It is a governance red flag. Iran's negotiating positions on the strait, on fees, on the MOU, all require Supreme Leader ratification to be durable. A new, wounded, and publicly absent Supreme Leader who communicates only through written statements introduces a principal agent problem into every deal Tehran signs. The June MOU collapsed not because the terms were wrong, but because the authority to hold those terms together was fragmented. That fragmentation has not been resolved. Plaquemium's position: the Oman corridor is a 2-4 month trade, not an investment thesis. Any capital allocation predicated on sustained Hormuz normalization before 2027 is premature. The fee dispute, the blockade condition, and Tehran's governance opacity all point to a higher-for-longer energy volatility environment. Position accordingly. The bottom line: the Oman Corridor announcement on August 5, 2026, moves the Hormuz crisis one step closer to a temporary operational resolution and 0 steps closer to a strategic one. Brent at $79.24 will not hold that level if the corridor fails to open on schedule. It will not collapse to pre-war levels if it does open, because the underlying blockade and fee dispute remain unresolved. The actionable call: use any price compression on reopening headlines to build positions in assets that benefit from sustained Gulf volatility, tanker REITs with Cape route exposure, LNG spot market infrastructure, and Gulf state sovereign bonds from mediating actors like Oman. Fade long-duration infrastructure bets premised on a durable Hormuz settlement. The June MOU is the template, and it lasted days. The 2-4 month clock starts only if the corridor opens. If it does not open before Trump's, very soon, deadline passes, the next move in this market will not be gradual.